So today, with the first reading from the Gospel of St. John, we hear this remarkable story of a woman who was bent, as it were, to the point where she could not rise up. And our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ came to her and touched her and spoke to her, and she was released from her spirit of infirmity, and she rose up. And what happens afterwards is that our Savior comes under condemnation from the Jewish leaders. And it's interesting because, you know, every once in a while you have a new insight. And I'll share this simple one with you. So you wonder, well, why? I mean, why were they so upset whenever the Savior did these wonderful things? I mean, why were they so upset? And you can say it was jealousy and, you know, many, many things, all of which are human passions. I think that what the truth is revealed in the nativity and then in the entrance of the Theotokos into the temple, the Most Holy Mother of God. And what the tradition tells us is that the glory of God came upon the Most Holy Mother of God. And when she was in the temple, she was fed by angels and prepared and continuously sanctified and preparing her for the Annunciation, for her conception. And at the time of at the moment of the conception, the glory of God that dwelt in the temple entered into her womb, where Christ, perfect God and perfect man, was conceived. So what the Jews were suffering was not only that the Savior was doing these amazing things that they were unable to do, but they were suffering from a loss that they did not yet understand. The glory of God that had dwelt in the temple now came to dwell in the womb of the Virgin and became incarnate as perfect God and perfect man. And as we ponder these things, we anticipate the nativity of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. A very, very, very beautiful feast and a very great opportunity to renew ourselves in the glory of God. We received the glory of God through baptism and chrismation. And St. Paul says that we are temples. We become, through our faithfulness and our confession of faith and our baptisms, we become temples, as it were, of the Holy Spirit. And this, of course, is an amazing thing. So here we are. The Holy Fathers spread, as it were, the events of Christ over a 1 year period, so that we could go through them throughout each year of our life and find an opportunity to renew our relationship to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And what we see, I think, in the Nativity, and where Christ is born in a cave, in a manger in a cave, we see this remarkable symbolism of the heart of man. Because what is the purpose? The purpose of his Nativity is to make it possible for us to receive this reality, which is given to us in reality and in potentially through our holy baptism, to receive it into the depths of our hearts. And yes, the glory of God comes upon us through our holy baptism, but it's as though it takes a lifetime for our hearts to open and become sensitive to and aware of the presence of God. And what we pray for through as we anticipate the nativity of Christ, which we're preparing for through our fasting and prayers and divine services, is that we pray that Christ will be born again in our hearts, and that his glory, the glory of God, which dwells in the temple, will in some small way be renewed and dwell in us. This week we celebrated the entry of the Theotokos into the temple. And it's an amazing event, because here she enters the temple to be prepared. And Joachim and Anna were her parents. They were in old age, and they had been praying for years for a child. They had no children. They'd been praying for years for a child. And they made a vow, and the vow was that if they were given a child, they would dedicate that child to the service of the Holy Temple. And here they were given, miraculously, in their old age, the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary, to be born of them. And in their third year, which was an ancient tradition surrounding the temple, that those children who had been dedicated to God would go and live in essentially a little convent associated with the temple, and be brought up in holiness, consecrating their entire lives to the worship of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And here the Mother of God received this, and she was brought to the temple. And there we are told that she, and she alone, was invited into the Holy of Holies, and she was fed by angels. And it's a very beautiful tradition. And why is this necessary? To purify her, to make her ready to receive the glory of God within her. And, you know, throughout the Old Testament, we see many manifestations of the glory of God. And when the glory of God would manifest itself, those who were present literally feared for their lives. They understood that the power of God in all of its glory, because of our weakness and our sinfulness, could destroy us. And there was a great awe and fear. And in Exodus, we have where the Lord spoke to Moses and instructed him to set up a tabernacle of a tent, of the tent of meeting, with the Ark of the Covenant at the center, and the lampstand, the altar of incense, and the altar of sacrifice, and to consecrate them to the Lord. And it says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting, because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So here's this amazing manifestation made visible to the holy prophet and God seer, the old tradition says, Moses. And then in Kings, we have another, in 1 Kings, we have another remembrance of this. King Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, and then the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to the most high place. And when the priest came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Here they were, unable to even serve, just overwhelmed by the glory and power of the Lord. And the prophet Ezekiel says an amazing thing, and it's seen as a foreshadowing, a prophecy concerning the Mother of God. And the Lord said to me, this gate shall be shut, and it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it, therefore it will be shut. And this is a foreshadowing from the prophet of the Mother of God, who never knew man, but conceived miraculously. And then she was shut off in her eternal and everlasting virginity. And it goes on and says, as for the prince, because he is the prince, he may sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by way of the vessel of the gateway and go out the same way. So I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. So these are unbelievable and wonderful prophecies. Just three of many, many prophecies. And so here we are. We have this remarkable feast of the entrance of the Theotokos into the temple, being prepared for the Annunciation and the conception of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. Anticipating, of course, his birth, where he is made known to those who have eyes to see. So we have to ask ourselves, so how does this apply to us? And of course, it's very, very clear. We need to prepare our hearts. We must think of our hearts as a manger, a place where the Lord God on high wants to come, to dwell in us, to make us godlike, to sanctify us, to purify us, to make us holy in the image of God, to restore the image of God that we were given at birth, which was then distorted by sin, to restore it to wholeness and fullness and purity. And so it is. This is what we're preparing for. And I understand, last week, you know, we have these days, but one of the things that overwhelmed me last week was the degree to which each and every one of us is bound up in the world. I mean, without going through all the ways we're bound up in the world, but I think you understand, we are bound up in the world. We're bound up by economics. We're bound up by media and all of the other things. We're bound up by a culture that is becoming more and more godless and hostile, even. We're bound up by all the difficulties of drugs and so on. We're bound up continuously and working continuously to pay the bills that somehow or other, unfortunately, we have consented to, actually, which is the amazing thing about it. But we are. We're bound up. And we're bound up to such a degree that one wonders, how can we become untethered? How can this be? What can we do? And this is where we need to pray. We need to recognize the degree to which we're bound up in the world, the degree to which we have become enslaved by the world, and we need to pray. And, the church has given us this amazing miracle of disciplines. For example, fasting. We're in a fast, and we try to the best of our ability to refrain from meat and dairy products, etc. And to prepare ourselves. And this is a divinely revealed tradition. There's no question about it, that the heavier foods and meats and so on do, in fact, strengthen our passions. And if we pull away from them and eat in the simplicity, in concert with the fast, because there's grace in the fast. There's actually grace in it. I mean, we don't become vegetarians, sort of as a kind of health cult. We enter into it because it's true that the foods we eat do affect us, and they affect our passions, and so on. We know this. Overeating, we know that it darkens us. We know that overdrinking darkens us. We know it is. And so it is. But in the fast is grace. It's like a golden thread of divine reality that binds us to the Lord. So we keep the fast. And if we do, we are rewarded with an opportunity to draw near to Him. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to cleanse our hearts so that there is room for the Lord. Remember, He went to the inn and there was no room for Him? Because it was clamorous with all of the things of the world. That's why. Because it was filled with all of these people and so on. Of the world, there was no room for Him. And so He went into the stable, the manger of simplicity. And there was born. And so we have to cleanse the manger of all of its debris and all of its corruption. And open our hearts. And brothers and sisters, it does always come down to the same thing. We have to pray. And we can pray. We can. We were given so many ways to pray. Obviously, we can read our prayers. We can say the Jesus prayer. We can say it when we're driving. You know, I think when a person's enslaved and bound, you know, it's as though there isn't much you can do because you're bound. But there are things you can not do. There are things you can not do. And that is, don't clutter your heart and your mind with frivolous things. Don't clutter. And you can, the Jesus prayer, of course, is just the most amazing thing because it's a gift from God. I mean, there's just no question. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Most Holy Mother of God, save us. It's great to have a prayer up, but the fact is, you can say this remarkable prayer, which is literally, it's like a morsel of divine nourishment. Just a little morsel. And you can keep saying it. And more and more and more of the light of Christ comes into us. And so it is that what we're preparing for is to have the glory of God enter us and be renewed within us. And here we've already read the passages which indicate the enormity of this glory. And it's so great that people were afraid they would die in the presence, that they would hide themselves in. You know, you see the transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And they're down hiding themselves and maybe with a hand just a little over the face and looking up upon the glory of God because it was so intense that it was greater than they could endure. And so we're preparing for this. And wouldn't it be an amazing thing if all of us came together in our prayers and in our fasting in anticipation of the feast of the Nativity of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, to celebrate the descent of the glory of God in its renewal in our hearts individually and in our parish family as a whole. And so, I beseech you, and I rebuke myself, of course, first of all, but let us take the time to separate ourselves from the things of the world the best that we can and dedicate ourselves to prayer and fasting in anticipation of the gift of the birth of our Lord and God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.